What's going on, people? You're locked into Miles Mikulski, the podcast, and joining me is a songstress who is doing the most right now. It's been a fantastic 2022. Let the people know who you are. Come on.
Hello, everybody. My name is Debbie, and I'm a singer-songwriter from Southeast and London.
Listen, you've been smashing this year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just the consistency. Like, right now, the amount of songs that we've got are quite small.
Yeah.
But every single one's a banger.
Listen, you might as well just be
DJ Khaled right now. It's another one. And then wait, Cherry White, another one. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then obviously the one with Death to Halls now that just came out, another one.
Little
Christmas one.
Yes.
But yeah, your journey so far, like obviously like your Spotify and all that was saying that you've been, you know, it was in the lab basically for 700 days and you've kind of come up through I Love Live and Girl Gang and you've done, you know, some incredible things so far. We've done some backing vocals for some big people as well.
Come on.
And now you're stepping into your own, you know, your own platform, your own right. And
yeah.
Like, how's the journey been for you so far?
Seamless. It's like, I can't... It's like, it just kind of landed in my lap a little bit. But yeah, I'm super grateful. I would say, like, normally in previous things that I've tried to pursue, I've, like, worked my ass off and it's never really worked out. But music is the one thing that it feels like I'm meant to be here.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. It's... There's so many people that try and do stuff and like never giving up is the key. And it's also being very aware of like what you're good at and some things that you can improve on.
Yeah.
And for you, kind of, where did it all start? Where are we taking this? How far are we taking this back?
Oh, we can take it back.
Let's take it back, man.
I started off, I was singing ever since I could remember. My mum always used to tell me that I was singing from the womb. And I just grew up thinking that everyone could sing.
Yeah.
I never really thought that my singing was different from anyone because it was just something I was always doing.
That's mad because really and truly there's people that can't sing, you know? Hey, listen, there's...
Yeah, I discovered that when I was in chamber choir and I met someone that was tone deaf and I was like, what are you doing? And I was only in like year five.
Yeah.
I was so confused. I'm like, can you not hear that?
That's the tone deaf. Like, they listen, they think they're hitting the real notes. Everyone's like, hey, listen, X Factor is not for you.
And she told me she's tone deaf and I didn't even know what it meant. And I was like, what's tone deaf? And then I realised, oh, not everyone can sing. So yeah, I've always been doing it. But performing in front of people, I only started doing that at sixth form when I gained my confidence a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, that's always important, like them kind of end of teenage years, really and truly, like sixth forms, well, 16 to 18. Because people start to kind of find themselves a little bit more, kind of go over the stressful kind of like middle teenage years.
Yeah.
You start becoming a bit more of an adult for yourself.
Yeah.
And then like, obviously for you, open mic nights have always been like very key. And when did you kind of, I guess, realize your singing potential or stardom?
So I probably probably sixth form because I was lucky enough to have some classmates that were like really real and let me know that what I had was like a special talent, and that gave me the confidence and the like self-reassurance that like I can sing. And then from doing that, I would go to different auditions, open mics. In my first year of uni, I was studying finance. But in my first year of uni, I would go to all these different things. And even though I didn't always, you know, get the audition or, you know, win a competition, people would always set me aside and say, you can really sing, which was always good to hear. So that gave me the confidence boost that I needed.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like sometimes it's the people who don't even realize they might have spoken to you and then they're going to realize, I swear I saw her at that one random open mic night and like, crossed that one time. And it's that was me. That's me number one in the chart. That's me. Yeah.
Come on.
And like, that's of course like open mic nights for anyone who's listening as well. Like, they're so important.
Yeah.
Because not every open mic night is going to be in your favor.
No.
There's going to be some that everyone's chatting.
Yeah.
And they don't care about you on the stage. And you kind of have to kind of be like, all right, that's a challenge. I'm saying this like I've been on open mic nights. Like, I'm the one in the crowd that's usually like, shh. Come on, let them sing. Do you know what I'm saying? But like, have you had any ones that have been like, were challenging in the past for you or?
You know what? I had these open mic nights that I would have to kind of like steer the ship.
Yeah.
It was this weird company, I can't remember, but you would have to provide the instrumentalist like normal and you would have to provide your own guest. And it's kind of like, if nobody else turns up, nobody else turns up. So sometimes I would just sing into my friends. So I would bring like 6-7 people in this big ass room, and it would just be me singing to them.
Yeah.
And it would be like, okay, this is a bit awkward. But I've never had anyone like talk over me. I've been like in open mic nights. Yeah. I've never had that, so I've been lucky to have that.
That's good, because really and truly, we don't want that to happen anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That can't be a thing, because you sing too well for that to be happening anyway.
Thank you.
But so obviously, let's talk about, Is This Real Love is kind of the number one numero uno track, official track that came out. We're going to talk about being like the first lady of 0207 and that in a little bit. Yeah, I mean,
come on.
That to the one side for a little bit. But everyone kind of first got into this one, and then TikTok kind of took it.
Yeah.
And then obviously the J-Hus interpolation as well.
Mm.
So obviously I'm assuming you're a J-Hus fan.
Yes.
And obviously people probably ask you that all the time.
Mm.
What's the best J-Hus record of all time? I thought I'd just hit you with a different question because, yeah.
I can't remember the name. You're guilty by association.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It must be.
Yeah. Must be. Banger.
Okay, so... Obviously, you don't want to kind of run down too many J-Hus trains with singing, because sometimes that's like, I find sometimes with artists, when they start doing too much, people are like, chill. Like, respectfully, chill.
Take a seat.
Yeah. The first time was good, we liked it, but not the fifth time. You know what I'm but like, what made you kind of, I think the track was already made, right? And then you kind of remixed it, and then it became the official version. So how did that randomly just kind of come about? Or
so I was in the studio with Rich and Progression, and I'd show them the song and they were like in love with it. And then we were just talking about the concept and where it came from. And it just kind of came up like, I think Rich must have initiated it, but he was just like, oh, did you see what I had done? Did it? And I was like, can I put it right, man? And we kind of just switched it on its head.
Yeah.
That's how it came to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, sometimes it's the little funny moments in the studio that make a big difference, you know?
100.
And like, with that record, when it first came out, obviously it went round, a lot of people were feeling it, like we said, TikTok took it. Were you surprised, or were you kind of, what was your expectations for the record initially when it came out?
I try and keep expectations low. That sounds really like mad, but because I feel like as a beginning artist, especially because everything has happened so seamlessly, I try and remind myself that I'm at the beginning of my career, and what will be, and I can't stress about like numbers or anything like that. So I didn't have a lot of expectation with it. I was just happy and proud of the art, and that's all that mattered, and whatever it turned out to be, then it turns out to be.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, when it did come out and like I was getting so much love, I couldn't believe it. I was just scrolling. I've never been on my phone that long in my life. I was scrolling, looking at all these comments, looking like replying to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so happy.
That's the thing. I mean, again, expectations, keeping them low and then being surprised, it's always good, because it shows like a sense of like humility, as opposed to kind of being like, oh yeah, this is gonna get like 10 million views, I'm gonna be like the hottest artist, of because there's no longevity in that as well. Like, some people can have a run, but you want to have a run that goes on for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And obviously as you've dropped more songs now, like, have you still kept the expectations for yourself lower, or are you kind of working your way up and kind of getting more excited with each one?
I try and have the mindset of what will be, and I can't control that. So it is what it is.
It is what it is. I hear it. I mean, that's the thing. Again, like I said, like, it's nice to be humble like that. And obviously, you've kept a lot of the songs by yourself. If not all of the songs, have just been you.
Yeah.
And was that conscious of the people being kind of like, oh, you should get this person on your track to boost your status, and you've wanted to keep it very much? No, Debbie.
I don't think it was done consciously. It just is what happened naturally. The latest one, Cherry Wine, actually has an artist called Friday, 2 Y's on it. He's on that. He's on the BVs. But that's just because I think he's an amazing artist.
Yeah.
When I was showing his stuff, I was like, are you mad? And yeah, I've got him on there. But yeah, I'm not like closed off from working to artists. It's just what's happened naturally.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, who's on the bucket list of 2023?
2023. He's on the bucket list. Rihanna. Lauryn Hill. SZA. Yeah, that's it.
Listen, if you got one of them on one track,
yeah,
I'd be a superstar. Like,
yeah,
I'm saying
that'd be a bit mad.
That'd be crazy. Listen, that'd be crazy. And that's the thing. I feel like, I guess with Lauryn Hill, she hasn't really dropped anything of recently, but obviously she still gets sampled all the time by different people. Yeah. Rihanna's back.
Mm-hmm.
So
she back.
I was happy to see her as well. Like, I don't know if that song is the strongest song for me, but I'm happy she's back.
I get why she did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it takes the pressure off.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. I want to see what she does next year. I'm excited for it too.
Exactly.
But one thing I read as well, heritage wise for you.
Yeah.
Ghanaian and Nigerian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I finally met another.
Is that you too? Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I'm sorry. Listen, I read it and I was like, finally. Finally, yeah. Because people think that Ghana and Nigeria are like, all right, there's a bit of a rivalry thing, yeah. Yeah. And obviously, like, which would you lost better?
Oh my God. That one.
Yeah, it's not that deep.
It's not.
There are people that, you know, got together and we are the products of that.
Listen.
Exactly. The thing is, worst part about it was school, yeah. The people always be like, how did it happen?
You know what? Because I went to a very posh, like, white school.
Yeah.
No one cared.
Fair.
I never got any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair, because I got that a lot. At one point, I was just switching sides. I was like, yeah, Black Stars all day. And then Eagles, nah, man. But nah. Like, moving to one side of now, really and truly, Afrobeats popping.
No, I hear it.
I think to be fair, I can't even do that. I ain't gonna diss anybody right now. I just got older, I was just like, you know what,
it is what it is.
I'm just from the diaspora. Yeah. That's it, we do. But yeah, so what else is coming up in your world then? What's happening? Like, what can we expect? Because we've just got this Christmas, well, your feature on the Christmas Death to Halls tape with people like Jenna Aiko on that as well. And hearing that, I'm like, okay, I see Debbie. I saw Debbie. I was like, okay, Debbie, I'm proud of you. I didn't know you at the time, but I'm proud of you. And now, yeah, what else is coming up?
I've got my next single coming out, hopefully soon. It's called Cousin Car.
Okay.
I'm very excited about it. I think this is my favorite one so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, why?
Because it's deeper. I'm a very deep person, probably to a fault sometimes. And this is a little bit more insight into my deepness.
Yeah.
So it's just like musically, the melodies feel like a warm hug to me. So yeah, I'm very happy with this one.
That is a mad way of putting it. The melodies feel like a warm hug.
Yeah.
That's mad. But I mean, let's talk about openness in music then. Because a lot of the time artists, whether they be new, old, whatever, some of them are very open and the emotions are on the sleeve. The sleeve is full. And then others are very much like, I just want to just chat some nonsense.
Yeah.
Or just keep it very, very just discreet.
Yeah.
So why is something, you being open with your music, has that been something that you've always done? Or is it something that you've, as you've got maybe a little bit older, you're kind of like, I'm going to do that?
It's something I've always done. Like, I've been behind the scenes for a while. So I never really deeped it as like, oh, you're telling everyone your life. I never really deeped it as I was like, I'm going to studio today, I'm going to make a song about how I feel,
yeah.
And I'm going to be selfish and that's the end, goodbye. And then when I started going to labels and, you know, kind of doing the dance with the labels, I couldn't look at anyone in the eyes because I was like, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done? And then a full circle moment, I realized that you have to be selfless with your art, and it's not about you, it's about the art. So you got to give what you can and then just let it do its thing and hopefully people will relate and feel it too.
So then out of everyone who's in your fan base, has anyone kind of said, oh, like, this particular song has helped me get through something? Or because I feel like that's, your music can do that quite a bit, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've had loads. And literally the first time it happened, I felt like I made it because I was like, yes, that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
I just want someone to relate and that's it. So yeah, it's been amazing to hear people reach out and say that.
I think music is always a universal language.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And obviously sometimes where words can't be said, a song can easily do that. Do you know what I mean? And obviously with this new tune, I'm looking, when's it coming out?
Definitely by the end of this year.
Okay, fair. So we ain't got no time stamps on it, but basically by December 31st, we'll be hearing the tune. But like, obviously that's the thing where it's like being open. Like, are you like that outside of music as well, or is it where the music is what kind of lets you kind of be more free flowing with your emotions and your lyrics?
I'm not open at all. I'm not, unless you're my peoples, I'm not open. And I think that's good, because if you're that open in your music and your art, like, if you're also open in your day-to-day life, I feel like that's too much.
Yeah.
Like, you need something for yourself. So yeah, I tend to keep it quite closed off.
Yeah.
In daily life, but in my music, I share.
Yeah.
I definitely share.
I hear you, because really, I'm not saying like I'm going back and making tracks on the side. I mean, I hear it on the part, like, sometimes some people want to be telling you their whole life story.
Yeah.
On Instagram, you know, Instagram post is like that small.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, like, I'm just gonna close that story and move to the next story, because you can't be keeping track. Because the thing is, I feel like if your life's all online or it's digitized, you're not enjoying life.
Yeah,
personally.
Yeah. No, I feel you 100%. Yeah.
So let's talk about you being the first lady of 0207 Def Jam.
Come on.
And if anyone don't know, so 0207 Def Jam is the UK version of UK record label. Splinter part of Def Jam in America, and you know, it's home to some of the biggest artists in the world. And then, of course, in the UK, we've got people like Stormzy and Debbie. Do you know what I mean? And obviously, there's other names as well, but we're just gonna say Stormzy and Debbie for now. And what's it like? How's it been for you?
It's been warm. Like, there's just so much love in Def Jam. I think it's because it's like quite a small network of people.
Yeah.
So. It feels like family. That sounds so cliche, but it actually does feel like family. Like, when you come into the office, it's like, oh, look, it's Uncle Twin and it's Auntie Heidi and Auntie Jackie. Like, it feels warm. Yeah.
I think that's important as well, because a lot of people we've seen in this last like couple of years, everyone's talking about independence for artists and like, you know, being independent is so good. But when you're in a family of people and everyone's looking out for each other and working well, that's what you want, right?
Yeah. I used to be like that. I used to be like independent till the day I die.
Yeah.
But then I realized it's cool to be independent, but you need to have the right team of people. If you don't have the right team of people, then I understand why being a part of a label is important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because being an artist is, you can't do it by yourself. You need people. You need a team that care about your music. And as soon as you got that, it doesn't matter whether it's in a label or out of a label. That's what counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's literally so important, so essential. So people listening, you know what I mean, think about it. When you sign on the dotted line, if it works for you, it works for you. If it doesn't, do what you got to do.
But
like, listen, just listen to what Debbie's saying, innit? If 0207 has come calling, then you see why, innit? You want to speak to Uncle Twin or Auntie Heidi, there you go. You know what I'm saying? But let's talk about backing vocals then, because obviously we spoke about at the beginning of you kind of coming away from doing backing vocals and kind of into your own spotlight. So I believe you've done backing vocals for Stormzy in the past.
No, I haven't done backing vocals for anyone.
You haven't done backing vocals? Okay, no. I thought somewhere I saw you've done backing vocals, but that's fine, that's even better. You know what I mean? But would you do backing vocals then for anybody if they came calling, depending on who it is?
It depends what it's for. Like, I don't think I could do generic backing vocals.
Yeah.
I think if, like, have you heard of an artist called Jacob Collier?
Yeah.
Right, so his backing vocals are important.
Yeah.
Like, they're not just backing vocals.
Okay, yeah.
Those are the sort of backing vocals I would do.
Okay, fair. They have to be the standout ones that people are like, yeah, we know who that is.
It's needed on the song.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, replaceable. It has to be that person and it has to be done in their way.
Mm-hmm. I hear it. A bit like, one person who never gets enough love is, do you know who James Fontelroy is?
No.
So, you know Chris Brown, Paper, Scissors, Rock? That song came out a time ago. So, he sung the original version.
Okay.
And then, obviously, it gets taken away. And it gets... You know, like... I can't remember the name of it. You know when the whole Quentin Miller, Drake stuff went off? And it was like the... Quentin Miller recorded the actual verse and then Drake did the same verse on Rico. It's that. It's like they do that stuff first. I'd definitely say check him out because he's got some good songs as well.
Okay.
Like, he was on the original, like, Girls Love Beyonce with Drake and stuff like that. He does a lot of stuff in America.
Okay, yeah.
So, stuff like that. I mean, it's so important to kind of... Yeah, have the right backing vocals and have stuff there.
Yeah.
But working with other people as well, you mentioned that you've been in a studio with Retro2 and Progression. Obviously, Progression has done some big production over the last 10 years as well.
Very hard.
Can we expect Retch and Debbie link up? Or was that you just kind of soaking in the vibes?
I was soaking in the vibes, but...
That was the professor. I always do that to you. I always leave it out. It's like, you know, I can't say anything because the label might move mad if it goes out. So it's like, soaking up the vibes.
If Retch was down, I'm down. Retch is a legend.
Yeah.
He's actually a GOAT. So, yeah, I'd be honoured.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does Debbie do in her spare time?
In my spare time, I sing in my spare time. I literally, like, that's what, music is my life. Life is music. Music is life. So I sing, I cook, I see friends, I meditate. Yeah, I just live life. I soak it in.
Mad soak up life, isn't it? Key question.
Yeah.
Where do you catch the best melodies?
Where do I catch the best melodies?
Because some people have different places. Some people, I remember speaking to somebody and they said they catch the best melodies in the toilet.
Oh my God, I was just going to say that, but I didn't know if it was inappropriate. Yeah, it's catch it on the toilet.
Okay. That's wild. Like, so, like, do you know what I mean? Everyone's there to just do their business.
Yeah.
And you're just, yeah. Like, where's my voice recorder? Let me run that one down.
Listen, a lot of my songs have been made like that.
Listen, I don't know what's going on in people's toilets, yeah?
Yeah.
But maybe the real melodies.
It's the acoustics. I think it's the acoustics. And when you're in the bathroom, like, if I'm brushing my teeth, I'm not really doing melodies. If I'm in the bathroom, I'm singing covers. Like, I'm doing the covers, the Beyoncé's, like, and yeah. I am, all of that.
Okay.
But yeah, that's where I make my best music, the toilet.
Listen, people, now you know what to do. Get a microphone or a little voice recorder, set it up in the toilet. Don't ever soundproof your toilet.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It has to be all the tiles and everything there. Yeah. Has got to be doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so as we come to an end, what do you want to say to the people that are listening right now, enjoying your music? And yeah.
I want to say thank you for listening, and thank you for relating if you are. And yeah, isn't it great to love music?
It is.
Yeah. That's it, really.
Listen, Debbie, I'm sure there'll be another one, another 10, another 20. Great records that will come out from you. Looking forward to seeing what else you do. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to, like, a full project at some stage as well.
Yeah.
Or an EP probably to start with and then move to a project.
Mm-hmm.
But all the best. All the best. And thank you for chatting to me today.
Thank you.